Tonight, although short is a relative term. Shorter than this morning, right? You'll be interested to know this, that the USDA recommends that adults over the age of 18 consume anywhere between 1,600 and 3,000 calories a day. Would you like to know how many calories you will eat on Thanksgiving? And what you have to do to burn them off?
No.
Well, I'll tell you anyway. On Thanksgiving Day, the average American will eat 3,000 calories in one single meal. With the rest of the day, with your munching and snacking and whatever else, the number climbs to over 4,500 calories. So here's what you have to do to burn that off. An average-sized person would have to run for 4 hours, swim for 5 hours, or walk 30 miles to burn off that 3,000 calorie meal. I'm not going to tell you how many calories you're going to eat tonight. I have no idea. But it really doesn't matter, right? It's all worth it. Needless to say, most of us don't need more food on our Thanksgiving table. And yet there should be a desire in our heart to have more people at the table who give thanks to God. And not just at Thanksgiving, but for all eternity. That's behind what Paul said to the Corinthian church in our text tonight. Just toward the close of his ministry, Paul talks at length about, or the chapter here where Paul talks at length about his own ministry. He says in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 4:15, "All these things are for your sakes, so that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might overflow to the glory of God." So this wonderful verse, it speaks about grace, it speaks about gratitude, it speaks about the glory of God, and the importance of getting the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. You know, Thanksgiving is more than a holiday, right? Somebody said it should be called Thanksgiving. And I like that because it should be a part of our lives to consistently give thanks to God for his grace. And so just three simple points there on your outline tonight. And I got some more in the back there. Pastor Josh has them, I think. If you need some, just see him. So we got the grace that motivates thankfulness, the God that merits thankfulness, and the goal that multiplies thankfulness. So first of all, the grace that motivates thankfulness. Thankfulness is not an action, but rather it is a reaction. Thankfulness is in response to something else. Whenever thankfulness comes, when it comes to us, it's because something else first came to us. And verse 15 indicates that the motivation for thankfulness is grace. We are thankful because of the grace of God. Grace is the action, and thankfulness is the reaction. And although we don't see it in our English Bibles, there's an interesting link between the words grace and thanksgiving. The word grace is charis. The word translated thanksgiving, eucharista. And so you find the word charis in that word. When you look closely at those two Greek words, you see that charis is contained in the word eucharista. So the point is that you can't really have true gratefulness and gratitude without grace. And wherever that is true, wherever you experience thankfulness, you can be sure that grace is involved in some way. Once again, we are reminded of the absolute necessity of the grace of God. Really, nothing of any spiritual value would be possible in our lives if it wasn't for God's grace. Grace really is to the spiritual life what oxygen is to the physical life. If God withheld his grace from us, there would be no living, there would be no cause for thanksgiving. So in our culture, the words thank you have become really more of a common courtesy than a genuine expression of gratitude. For instance, if we sit down in a restaurant, chances are the waitress that brought us our food, when she brings that out, she sets it before us, we say thank you. Really, I feel odd if I don't say thank you when she does something for me. But you know, in reality, that gratitude is not necessary because she's simply doing her job. And before the restaurant, we will pay our bill and we will most likely give a tip, right? To that waitress for the food that we have eaten and the tip then for the way she served us. In reality, she should be the one thanking us. Although it's courteous to do so, and I think we should say thank you. I'm not saying that. But it's really become just a common courtesy. But when it comes to the grace of God, gratitude is absolutely essential. It is the absolute correct response. Grace in our lives, when completely understood, we realize that we did not deserve that grace. We didn't warrant that grace. And yet God gave it to us anyway. We don't need a special holiday to prompt us to give thanks to God. The grace of God is more than enough motivation to give thanks to Him and exclaim His glory. The second thing is that God merits, the God that merits thankfulness. Paul said that all he did was for the sake of introducing more and more people to the grace of God. Paul was interested in getting more people to give thanks to God and glorify God for what he has done. In fact, you realize that you cannot be thankful for anything else until you first thank God first. Really, you can't express gratitude for anything in our lives unless we are thankful to God first. I love my wife. I am thankful for my wife. I'm grateful for her devotion and her companionship. However, if it was not because of God's grace and blessings, I wouldn't have a wife to be grateful for or to thank. I'm certainly glad and thankful for you, my church family. However, it wasn't for God's goodness and blessings, I wouldn't have a church family to be thankful for. So what I'm saying is God is the source of all gratitude and thanksgiving. And like Paul, those of us who live and serve the Lord ought to desire that God receives this gratitude and this glory and not ourselves. Someone once said, the axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. You know, Paul in another place, he said that he wanted to continue to recognize God in his life because he was afraid that someday he might be a castaway. And he simply meant by that, I could be put up on a shelf and not be used by God anymore. If we want to be used by God, we have to make sure that God gives the glory and not us. We are thankful, we are grateful for his grace and what he does in our lives. And then there's the third thing in this verse, and that is the goal that multiplies thankfulness. I want you to listen how one translation translates this verse. It reads, it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Because there's more and more people to give thanks to God. And this is what Paul said. I want to reach more people so that there's more people giving thanks to God, so that there is more people glorifying God. And that should be our passion in life as well, to have this desire to see more and more people come to Christ so that they can express their thankfulness to him and share in the gratitude that we already have toward him. And so we want more at the spiritual Thanksgiving table. More people who will spend an eternity worshiping the Lamb and glorifying him for what he has done. The preacher and author A.B. Simpson once wrote a poem entitled Thanksgiving. And the last stanza says this, while we love to count the blessings, grateful for the year that's gone, faith would sweep a wider vision, hope would gaze yet farther on, seem with one accord to say, Christ is coming soon to bring us Earth's last, best Thanksgiving Day. When we get around the table in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's going to be the greatest celebration of Thanksgiving we could ever imagine. And Paul says, I want more people at that table. And Jesus said, there is room at the table for all who would come. And so I'm glad that my place is reserved, trusting that your place is reserved at that table, but there's still room for more. And that's our job, to get people to come to saving faith in Christ so that they can join in gratitude at the greatest table of Thanksgiving there will ever be. So that's the message. I told you I'd keep it short. So what I want to do tonight is I just want to open it up. I know some of you have testimonies that you would like to share. So James, what are we doing? Are we passing the mic or are they coming here? He's got the cordless mic, so you don't even have to come up here and face everybody. So who wants to go first? Just raise your hand, he'll get you the mic. You can stand up and face everybody if you'd like.
I don't know if we all know who I am, but I'm Beverly Thatcher. And what I'm giving thanks for is thanking God that he has saved my life, not only once, but twice. First time he saved me, my life is when I had breast cancer, and I didn't have to take chemo or anything like that. And the second time is when I got staph infection when I had a surgery and got pretty sick, almost lost my life. The doctor says, he said, I just barely saved you. I said, I didn't tell him, but I should have, that it wasn't him, it was God that had saved me. And I appreciate him very, very much. I will not... Even if someone comes up to me and says, and wants to put a gun on my head, I said, I'm not going to back down. God is who I will worship, not anybody else.
Amen.
Fran, I'm thankful that I'm cancer-free. 2 weeks ago, I went for every 3 years I go for an MRI instead of a mammogram, because I don't like mammograms because it's too much radiation and I've already had enough radiation. So I went for this MRI and got a call from the doctor right away, and he said, they found something. And we want you to have further testing, so we want you to get a regular mammogram. Okay, so I went to the Lord, and I asked him for healing, and then I asked him, is there anything you want to tell me? And he said, I'm going to get the glory from this. And I said, okay. I had, I think it was Wednesday, went for the mammogram. And they said, we can't do the mammogram today because you need to have a ultrasound after the mammogram, and you must be high risk, because they don't ever ask for an ultrasound after a mammogram. And oh, by the way, when my doctor told me that he wanted me to go for the mammogram, he said, and I'm sorry, Fran. Well, that don't sound too good. So then when I talked to the nurse and she said, you must be high risk, and I said, no, I'm not. And I had to go back Friday for both the mammogram and the ultrasound. In the meantime, Cindy had shared with us, is this okay, Cindy? That, it's too late now anyways, I've already... Anyway, that she had requested prayer for something else that she was going through. And so I messaged her and I said, we need to speak to this thing. And I was standing on Mark 11, 20 through 24. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And say to this mountain. And Jesus says three times, talk to it, say to it. And so that's what I know to do, so that's what I did, you know. Anyway, went back on Friday, and when I got there, the nurse said, oh, by the way, the doctor wants to do an exam after the ultrasound. So that didn't sound very good either. So went and had the mammogram done, and afterwards she said, you can go home. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And she said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I went home, and I messaged Cindy, and I said to Cindy, I will stand in you in faith for whatever you're believing for, because she had her doctor appointment coming up. And I said, if you're believing for an instant healing, I'll agree with you. If you're believing this is going to take a while, that it'll gradually go down, I'll agree with you there. If you are believing this is going to be a medical procedure, I'll agree with you, because all of those things take faith. It just depends on where you are. And so I forgot to say, when I came back Wednesday, I went shopping at Walmart, and I ran into Ken Leach. And I, you know, my wonderful husband had shared with all the men at the men's breakfast that what I was going through. And so when I met Ken, he said, oh, Fran, we're praying for you. And I said, I've had cancer before. I know all about this. I am fine. I am fine. And that is very important of what you say. What you say. In 2 Judges, the Shunem woman, whose little boy died, and she went to get Elisha, and the servants, she said, go saddle my donkey to the servants. They said, what's wrong? And she said, it's all right. Everything's fine. Her husband asked her, where are you going? And she said, everything is fine. She went to Elisha, and he sent his servant, and she said to the servant, everything is fine. We have what we say that we have. But it's, Jesus said, it's in your heart. It's got to come from your heart first. He said, if you don't doubt. So that's where the problem is in our heart. Well, I don't want to preach. Anyway, I said to Cindy, I messaged her, and I said, I'll agree with you wherever you're at. And she said, I am believing it's gone. I am believing it's gone. She'll explain it. But anyway, she said, I believe that it's gone. And I said, I'll agree with you there. So I think it's Cindy's turn.
I'm going to stay sitting. Yes, Fran was a part of my two-week journey that we were on. Actually, last summer, in the middle of the summer, I mentioned to my husband that I was having a very tender stomach, and it was just tender, so I wasn't really too concerned about it. And as the months went on, it became more tender and more tender. Well, our daughter got married in September, and I, of course, didn't want anything going on there, so I just was ignoring it. And tomorrow, I was out picking up my lawn ornaments and such, and was quite physical. And I said to Al afterwards, it was about 3 o'clock, and I said, you know that tender spot? It's growing, and it's sore. I think you should take a look at it. We should make a decision. So he looked at it, and he touched it. He looked at it, and he goes, why aren't you at a doctor? And I said, I guess I probably better call for an appointment. And he said, yes, right away. So I called, and they were willing to put me in the next day, but I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be home. Can we wait a few more days? So they put me in on Thursday, and I went into Baldwin to see Dr. Sarah and was explaining everything. And she said, so I want to see it, Cindy. So I showed her. It was just to the right of my navel. And she became quite alarmed because she said, Cindy, I got to get a measure tape, and we're going to measure this. And she measured a 3.5-inch lump and said, you know, check things over, and said, we need to talk to a surgeon one way or another. She said, you either got something to do with a hernia, but I am thinking this is a mass that needs to be removed. So I said, okay, fine. And she said, there's the surgeons are in here. I'm going to go see if we can do ultrasound or CT scan. And I said, remind me what a CT scan is. So she did, and she got up to leave. And I just said to the Lord, I really would like to have an ultrasound. I don't want a CT scan. I don't want anything like that going on. If that's okay, can we have it? And she walked back in, and she said, great news. You can have an ultrasound. So it was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. So we went on with the journey, and she said, I want you to go down to radiology and get set up for an appointment. And so I went over, and they set me up for Monday. So I was set up with that, came to Bible study Friday morning, and when we were talking about prayer, I mentioned that I have a mass in my stomach area and that I'm going in for ultrasound on Monday and would really like prayers of healing. Well, a friend said to the other friend, where is pastor's anointing oil? And so they went to get it and brought it back, and the women that were at Bible study with me anointed me and started praying over me. And I have to tell you, you could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, along with the fact that we've been studying Daniel. And we know God works. I mean, this has been a 2-year study, and it was just amazing, the presence of the Holy Spirit there that morning. So afterwards, we went home, and that evening, it's not uncommon to wake up about 3:00 in the morning, and I woke up at 3:00 in the morning, and my stomach was itching, and it was itching really bad. And at that time, I was reminded of when I was a little girl, my mom had taken me to a dermatologist. And I used to scratch a lot because I was allergic to the sun. And he had said, you know, when you itch, that means your body is healing. And just like that, it hit me that, wow, I'm healing. And immediately, I became aware of the presence of the Spirit around me. I just started praising the Lord. I repented of anything that I did not know of and asked him to give me the grace to give him the glory, because this is truly a journey. This has been 3-4 months already. So got up Saturday morning, and it was still there. But I know from Esther, it's in his timing. It's not my timing, it's in his timing. So Fran called Saturday afternoon. We had prayer. We had really good prayer. Sunday morning, our granddaughter was there. We did the shower for Alexis, and it was still there on Sunday because I had Riley do the water for the lemonade and stuff. I said, Grandma's just got a sore tummy. So Sunday night, she went home. It was still there Sunday night. Got up Monday morning. Y'all went to breakfast. I was going to go get ready for my appointment. Got in the shower, and I looked down, and there was no lump. Oh. And I just started crying because I knew he had given me the grace and he had done what he wanted to do for me. But now I wanted to give him the glory. I wanted it to be real in for a testimony. So Al came home, and we decided we're going to go in and have the ultrasound. So I went in, and she said, so give me the scoop on this. And I said, well, the scoop is on Thursday there was a 3.5-inch mass. And she said, yeah, I know, I've got that. And I said, but today there's nothing. And she just said, so what do you want to do? And I said, I want the ultrasound. I want you to tell me there's nothing there, because Dr. Sarah definitely knew there was something there, and she told me there would be surgery. And I'm thinking, there's not going to be any surgery. So she put me on the table and did her ultrasound. She did two procedures, and she said, I'm going to change my paddle. She went to a different paddle, did two more procedures. And then she said, I'm just going to cover you up. The radiologist should be here. I'm going to have him come in. So he came in, introduced himself, and said, if you don't mind, I want to do the ultrasound. And I said, yeah, that's fine. And he said, so where is it located? And I said, it's not located there anymore, because I really believe God has performed a miracle here, and I'm healed, but I need you to tell me that. And he goes, okay. So, you know, he really wasn't believing like I was hoping he would believe. And when we went to Branson to Praise Fest, I bought a black shirt that said, God fights on my side. And he was looking at that throughout the whole thing. So he gave me my ultrasound. He changed paddles, changed and did the ultrasound again. And he said, okay, now I'm not supposed to talk to you. I'm supposed to do everything in writing, but we're going to talk. And he said, there is nothing there. And I just have to tell you, don't do anything, because there's nothing there. And I said, praise God, he has performed a miracle. You've gotten to experience a miracle with me. So, oh, wow, we were just happy. But then I got happier, because I've always had a bad left knee, always. And when we prayed that day, we asked God to heal my body as well as the mass. And so when she helped me up off the cot, I stood up and my knee didn't hurt. And I thought, oh, wow, is this a God incident too? And praise God, I have not had a sore knee since Monday at the ultrasound. So let's praise the Lord together, because, wow, he is so good. It was really neat when I got to call Al and say, come and get me. And he goes, already? You said an hour. And I said, but Al, it's gone. It's really gone. And he knew it, because he had seen it and felt it. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All right. And Paula back there.
I wasn't sure if I was going to share this or not, just because I don't know, it seems more like a selfish testimony, but it's a testimony because I think it's something that it shows that God loves us like a papa loves his little girl. I see it a lot with my husband, with his little ones. He often gives us things that we want along with the things that we need, even though we didn't really need what we wanted. Probably about a year ago, I actually did kind of pray, Lord, it would be really nice to have an interior decorator for my bedroom or our bedroom. Knowing that what an interior decorator probably goes for, I could not justify that. So I just kind of threw it out the window. Needless to say, about a month and a half ago or so, through different circumstances, it was with the flower farm and everything, the Lord sent somebody, her name is Marissa, and her husband, Matt. Yesterday, they came to the house, and I declare, I should back up a little bit. We live in a basement, and our room is, I should say, just dreary, I guess. But anyways, all I want to say is that yesterday when we walked into our bedroom when they were done, it was absolutely gorgeous. And the thing that happened was I had thought about how I was going to say this entire time, and now I'm blowing it. But anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for answering, I guess, a selfish prayer. I just want to thank the Lord for that very much. So.
God meets our needs and some of our wants as well.
The thing is that she had come for the flowers, and she does home staging and home interior decorating. And when I saw her prices, I was like, bummer. Until she said to me, Paula, I want to use your flowers next year for all of our home staging. And I said, would you mind trading services? And she said, absolutely. And she said, if anybody else you know would like the same thing, please tell them I'm up for it. So that was the big testimony, in that there's no way $100 an hour. And so this is like, it was, as a mom of four little ones in probably a house that's only about 700 square feet, I get stressed. I do get stressed out sometimes. And to have like a little getaway now where it's right there when I need it just to breathe, and I just feel such peace. I went in there three times last night after they were done just to breathe. And I'm just like, God, I never thought that you would do this for me, and you did. I'm just like, I don't know, I feel very undeserving, but what a father. What a father.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Back to Jonathan, back there.
Hi, so mine isn't so big. I was coming home from Eau Claire last Saturday when the first snow hit, and I don't know if y'all know, there's no snow in Texas. I don't know how to drive in it. And I drive a small, lightweight truck. And I don't know if you've ever experienced headlights coming at you the wrong way.
Yeah. You're going
at 70 plus miles an hour. That was actually one of my like scariest moments, and looking a car, you know, in the face, saying, "Oh, okay." And it just, there's been other things in my life, like a year ago, like I got crushed and everything, and I've been able to walk away with no repercussion. And a lot of it, you know, I've not been maybe like the most amazing person in life, such as a young adult, and just to see the grace that he still has for everyone. And I look now and everyone thinks, you know, they focus on the bad in the world, but they don't see like what else is going on. I feel like they give Satan too much credit and he feeds on it. So it's small, but it means a lot.
Absolutely.
To be able to not, you know, still be able to drive the same car, come to church the next day. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's mine.
That's huge. So. Was there anyone else?
Most of you know who I am, but for those who don't, I am Rick's mother-in-law and Debbie's mom. And I hope I can say this. My heart is so full of thanksgiving to every one of you who have prayed for me when I was in the hospital in 5 months ago, if that's right, something like that, because I don't remember it. I don't remember being in. I don't remember anything that went on. I don't remember what they did or didn't do. But I am well since then. And I know that it's because all of you prayed and held me up before the Lord. And I thank you for that. And I, of course, naturally thank the Lord for that, that he did touch me. And every night before I go to sleep, I pray. And you folks are named. So those of you who I don't know your names probably won't remember them after tonight for a while. I still thank you. I thank you for your prayers.
Anyone else? Marge.
Thank you. Tony, will you hold this for me? I, too, was at the Women's Bible Study, and it's very important to me for all of you to know how wonderful and how dedicated the women's ministry is to the Lord. And that day that Cindy was, I was with Cindy and Fran and a few other girls were there, and we practiced Daniel. And we said, Cindy says, we're going to be Danielles. And we said, yes, we agree with that. So anyway, about a week before I went to Bible study, I had had some female problems. And I didn't tell Tony, and I didn't tell anybody until I got to Bible study. And the Lord told me before I went to Bible study, you go to Bible study, you be faithful, and I need you to pray the prayer in James 5:20, where, chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. And the Lord said, be sure you have an elder of the church anoint you with oil. And I didn't know about Cindy's condition until she spoke it that day. And I said, Della, do you know where Pastor keeps oil? And she said, I sure do. And so she ran out and got the oil, and she anointed us, and everyone prayed for us. And this is so scripturally true. If you do what the word says, you will be taken care of. And so I went home at noon after study, and I told Tony what was going on, and I said, I need to call and get an appointment. And he said, yes, you do. And so it was noon on Friday. How do you get into a doctor at noon on Friday? So anyway, the gal said, no, I don't have anything, we're full. And I said, please, just look. I know I'm supposed to see a doctor today. So she said, 125. I have an opening at 125. Can you be here? I said, absolutely. And so Tony and I got in the car and ran up there, and the receptionist said to me, it was an internal medicine doctor, and she said, he came and he said, I can't see her. I can't take care of the problem she has. And so I said, well, I said to the receptionist, is there a gynecologist in the house? And she said, yes, there is. She said, you let me check. She's seen OB people, but I will see if she will see you. And so Tony and I sat back down. She said, just have a seat. We'll get back to you. It wasn't very long, and she said, she can see you. And I said, thank you, Lord. But I said, God, your will be done, not mine. And so I got in to see the doctor, and she took care of it. She said, I know what's going on. And I said, well, what do you think? And she said, let me examine, and I'll try to take care of it. And then she hesitated. She came back out of the examination. She said, I'm not sure. And she said, I have to get the right instrument. And I just prayed the whole time, Lord, you just lead her to what she's supposed to do. And so wasn't long, she said, okay, let's do this. And so she went in, got the problem taken care of, and it was a suture left in me from my surgery in 2011 that had broken through and was causing problems. So she said, who did your hysterectomy? And I told her, and she said, he's my partner. I'm gonna have a talk with him. And so she told him, he told her, you know, I quit using that kind of thread many years ago, he said, because of this exact problem. So I said, you know, Lord, I gave it to you. I'm not gonna fuss about. Thank you, God, you took care of the problem, and I didn't have to do anything except trust you. So
that's it. Amen. So it looks like most of the testimonies tonight are on healing, which we're grateful to the Lord for those. Yes.
You
got one that's not healing. Okay. Right. Absolutely. Go for it, Teresa.
Hi, my name's Teresa. I've started coming here just recently. My mom started coming here before I did. I was going to another church that I've been going to for about since 2017. I'm actually a new follower of Jesus, and so I've only been going to a church for less than 5 years, and in the last couple of years, I've been learning about the church body, and the Lord's been, you know, teaching me that. And just recently, I've been telling him that I don't see the church body where I'm going, or at least not a true church body, what I have been taught. And so I kept praying that he would just show me his true body. And he brought me here, and the first Sunday I cried 5 times. So it's true.
Yeah, we're so grateful for you, and you're growing fast because she has always good insight. But back to the Revelation study on Wednesday nights that we were doing, she would always have some great insight. So God blesses you and increases that. Denise.
Hi, I'm Denise Avery, and my family was very, very sick probably for the past 3 weeks, and I just want to thank everybody that prayed for us and brought food out to us, and it was just awesome, and I just thank this body for being there for us, and we're all healed up now and healthy, and I just wanted to thank you all for that.
All right, I want to say something quick. I want to speak to the youth a little bit, because I feel like nobody does sometimes. But anyway, the grace of God is so awesome. I'm just going to give you a piece of my testimony, because the grace of God is really amazing. And youth in the back, pay attention. Don't hang around with stupid people. You know why? They do stupid things. So anyway, before I was a Christian, I hung around with some people that were pretty dumb, and I was in a truck one time, and I didn't even know that the driver was high on drugs or whatever, but I was in the truck with my friend in the back, and he ran a stop sign, and we got T-boned, and I got thrown out of this truck, and it was the grace of God that even the tailgate and the topper of that truck flew open, and I only remember 3 things from this incident. One, that I got thrown out, and I got knocked out immediately. And I woke up to a car screeching to a stop, like right by my head, pretty close to me. And then I blacked out again. And then I woke up again to my brother standing over me. And I said to him, I said, where's my wallet? Because that was the thing I was doing in the truck. I was looking at my wallet. And then I blacked out again, and I woke up in the ER with the light shining on your face and stuff. So, and I mean, this is before I was a believer. So God's grace is so amazing. God demonstrates his love to us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
And my dad told me years later after I became a Christian, and this is kind of what chokes me up, he told me this, that they were up in Duluth, and exactly pretty much at the same time that this happened. We kind of compared notes and memory on it. And he said that they were in church, and they were about to go out, and he grabbed my mom and my sister, and he said, "We need to get on our knees right now and pray for Brad and Brian." My brother Brad was with me. And so they were essentially praying the grace of God over us as this was happening. So God is amazing, and prayer works, and I'm thankful for all of that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian. All right. Well, keep it.
So I'll wrap it up with one more. I've been debating whether I should share this or not, and I guess I have to. I told the Lord if I had a good report, I'd give him the glory. So we're talking about healing here, and the night that I passed out one night, and it was my wife took me to the emergency room, and they did the full blood panel thing on me, and you know, I was diagnosed with COVID. They told me that I might have that tick thing. Lyme's. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, that came back negative. It was a couple weeks later, I got a call from the labs and said, "We noticed that you have not followed up with your labs." And I said, "I didn't know if I was supposed to." And they said, "Yeah, you have some labs that the emergency room doctor had prescribed, and you need to get in and have those done." And so I went on my portal, and as I've told some of you this, I told our Sunday school class, my kids know about it, but went on my portal and read the report, and the report was changed from the night that I went in, and I saw the word cancer, and my white blood cell count was extremely low. And so they're in the notes, they're saying, make sure you do things like don't cut yourself. And so I had to go back in for labs, and it was a Monday that I went in, and a couple of the guys were here. We had some prayer around the altar that day, and a couple of the guys were still here, and I asked them if they would anoint me with oil and pray for me. And I remember Jason specifically praying for my cells because it was a white blood cell problem that I had. And so I went in on Monday to have my labs done, and then I was to see the doctor about an hour later, and the doctor came in and said, "Well, first thing I want to tell you is your white blood cell count is perfectly normal." So praise the Lord for that. So I want to give him the glory, but I do want to say this. Not everyone is healed in this life. You know, always when we give testimonies of people being healed, others are thinking, "Yeah, but what about me? What about my loved one?" And, you know, healing, divine healing, our church believes in it. We pray for healing. But sometimes that healing takes place in heaven. Everyone's healed. So here's the way I've come to view it. Since everyone is healed, whether in this life or in heaven, and I know God lives outside of time, I just ask God that if he would heal in this time, you know, do it right now. And of course, we pray in faith and we believe because that's what he tells us to do, but yet we leave the results to God. And if he chooses not to heal us in this life, we know that we will ultimately be healed in heaven. But I just look at it this way. God lives outside of time, so why not ask him to do it now? Yeah. And he might favor us with that. And we have tonight many answers to prayer that we see, many divine healings that take place. And so I just want to give that little disclaimer, though, because there's always somebody that's thinking, you know, my loved one, I think of Stoney. We prayed for Stoney last year at this time, and God chose to take him home. But I know he's healed today, but he's in the presence of God. And, you know, really, the worst thing that can happen to us is the best thing that can happen to us, is to go to heaven and be with Jesus. So that's the ultimate. But we always pray that God, you know, heal me so that I can continue to serve you, you know. And as long as you have that, as long as you want to use me, I'm available for that. So, yes, Della, we need...
Yeah,
Right. And Della's asked for prayer tonight, so we're going to pray for her. But I'm going to just dismiss, and we're going to ask Della to come up, and we'll lay hands on her and pray for her, whoever wants to. And if anybody else wants prayer, I wasn't really planning on doing this tonight, but if anybody else wants prayer, you're certainly welcome to come up. And there'll be there those here that would pray with you. And the rest of you could go start and have some pie if you'd like. So just save us some. Just save us some. So, Father, we thank you for this evening and the many offerings of thanks that have gone forth. Lord, we give thanks from the fruit of our lips tonight. And we are so grateful to you, first of all, for our salvation. Lord, and that the account of sin has been taken care of and it's been wiped clean. The debt has been taken care of and wiped clean. It's been canceled. And we thank you for that. We thank you for all these other answers to prayer. And we pray that you would continue to bless our fellowship tonight and as we eat some pie together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.